Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I appreciate the elders and their efforts for our good. The gospel of the grace of God is what it's called in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And verse 32 is called the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Ephesians 2 says that we're saved by the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace are mentioned many times in the scriptures and the epistles. Jesus is full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 17. You go through some references in the book of Acts. It's called the great grace. Grace that can be seen. We're persuaded to continue in God's grace. It's the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus. The word of his grace, we are to believe through his grace. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 just pointed out that it was testified, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, the word of his grace, which is able to build us up, give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So we're saved by grace, but we're saved by many other things that's mentioned in the scriptures. We're saved by God, Christ, the blood of Christ, Romans chapter 5, verse 9, saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. As we mentioned, we're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. We're saved by works, according to James chapter 2, verse 24. We're saved by hope, Romans 8, 24. And baptism doth also now save us, in 1 Peter 3, 21. Save yourselves from this crooked generation, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. So we have a part in our salvation, as does God. We have to endure. We have to believe the truth, God's word. We have to be obedient to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. We must do the Father's will in order to be saved. We need to follow Jesus' words. We confess Jesus as Lord to salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Repentance and baptism save us, according to Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Jesus points out that if we don't repent, we will perish. Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. So we need to hear the gospel, believe on Jesus, repent of sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized. All these things are necessary in order for us to be saved. We need to hear the truth, to hear the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 14, to hear him, everyone needs to hear Jesus and understand. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Jesus pointed out in John 6 that we are drawn by the teaching. We learn and we come to Jesus as we are taught. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Corinthians heard the gospel, believed, and were baptized. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 points out that we are saved by a knowledge of the truth. Matthew 7, 24 points out that Jesus' sayings, we need to hear those sayings and do them in order to be wise. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40 points out the scriptures testify of Jesus. And we come to Jesus in order that we might have life eternal. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 points out that we are to know the scriptures, points out that Timothy had learned the scriptures, and they made him wise unto salvation, that the faith is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15 points out that we need to be a worker that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. and we're to speak as the oracles of God. So we need to hear the gospel in order to be saved. I wanted to go to an example of a problem that happened in Acts chapter 15. There were some who had come from Jerusalem. It points out in verse 5 that these were of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed. Yet they had come from Jerusalem and had gone up to Antioch of Syria and taught something that was not true. They taught those brethren, "Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren." Now, Paul and Barnabas had already been on their first journey. They had been through Asia Minor, and all the miracles that had done, God working with them, gifts of the Holy Spirit. These things were done. All these pointed out that the Gentiles were worthy, that they could be saved by God's grace. Well, so when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. Certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now here Peter's talking about Cornelius' house and the events that happened there and God's revelation to him, how that he should go to them and how he took witnesses with him and how Cornelius and his household were saved by the gospel and believed. Here Peter says in verse 8, "God who knows the heart bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit as he did also to us." God poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the apostles. And he poured out his spirit at Cornelius' house. "And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are." So the Jews and Gentiles are saved by grace, by the hearing of the gospel of the grace of God. "The multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Paul and Barnabas as they were relating the signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles." So this was God's revelation. Now, Paul and Barnabas didn't come, according to Galatians 2, they didn't come to Jerusalem to find out the truth. They came to find out if the Jerusalem church was still standing for the truth. They knew the truth. They had received that by revelation of the Holy Spirit. They had been on the journeys, God working with them with the miracles and signs that they did, God saving the Gentiles in that first journey. Verse 13, "After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, 'Brethren, listen to me. Simon," that is Peter, "has related how God first concerned himself by taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." And here Amos chapter 9 and verse 11 is pointed out, an Old Testament minor prophet, that God was concerned about the Gentiles. "After these things, I will return. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it in order that the rest of mankind," that is the Gentiles, the heathen, as in some translation, the nations, in other translations, that the rest of mankind, people like us, may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, which later on we find out is Christian, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. So here James points out that the Old Testament prophet Amos had foretold over 400 years before that the Gentiles would be able to be called by my name, that they would be part of this return, this restoration. Therefore, it is my judgment, we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write them four commandments. Here's: they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication, from what is strangled, and blood. And he points out that Moses, from ancient generations, in every city, those who preach him, he has those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And they sent this letter by them: the apostles and brethren who are elders to the brethren in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction — that's talking about this sect of the Pharisees, these who are of the brethren in Jerusalem who had believed, had gone up to Antioch of Syria and taught this false doctrine that you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. So the apostles and elders at Jerusalem, it says here, since we heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials: that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So this is interesting. Paul and Barnabas had the truth. They had the revelation of the Holy Spirit. They had the confirmation of miracles. They knew the truth before they came. But they came to find out if they were still standing for the truth in Jerusalem. And they were. So this was a false teaching that had come out of Jerusalem to Antioch of Syria. And this had been refuted and confirmed, that the church in Jerusalem was teaching the truth. Letters sent back. All this was done that those Gentiles might be assured of the truth. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Acts 18, verse 8. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So, belief, faith, these are essentials. Believe in the Son of God. John 9, verse 35 through 38. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. In John chapter 20, we see Thomas, who's called Doubting Thomas by some people, but he was one who needed evidence. He said, I needed to put my hand in the wound in his side. I need to touch him. He required the evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he believed. John Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we pointed out that a confession is made to salvation. Romans chapter 10, there verse 9 and 10. Let's start at verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So belief, faith, confession is necessary to salvation. Acts 13, verse 39 says they're justified by faith. John 6 points out we need to do the work of God. The work of God is to believe in Jesus, whom God sent. And Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God. We need to repent of sins. As we pointed out earlier, Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5 says, we repent or we will perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says a similar thing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and there verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So again, repent or perish. The time that we have in this life, we need to make use of it well. For it's a promise from God. God is long-suffering toward us. He is patient with us. He is kind. God is love. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to know the truth. He does not want us to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. Acts chapter 17, and there verse 30. Acts 17, there verse 30 points out that repentance is for all. Repentance, or the idea is to turn toward God. Acts chapter 17, there verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. What is called the Great Commission, the commandments given to the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Luke chapter 24, repentance is part of that preaching. There, verse 46 and 47, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And again in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And there verse 4. Or do you despise the richness of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? There are some who do not want to repent, who do not want to believe, no matter how much evidence that God has given in the past. Again, Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21 points out people of this disposition. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Again, in Revelation chapter 16, it's pointed out people with these bad attitudes who refuse to repent. Revelation chapter 16, verse 9, "And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." Again, in verse 11, "And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds." We pointed out earlier in Romans 10 that we need to confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is the one Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There, verse 12 beginning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see or has seen or can see, to whom be honor for everlasting, honor and everlasting power. Amen." So we need to confess Jesus as Lord, that he's Christ, that he is the Son of God. We need to believe those things in our heart and confess them with our mouth before witnesses. We pointed out earlier that baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer or the appeal to God for a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 6, to me, may be the most powerful verse concerning this. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Jesus died for our sins upon the cross. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And we are baptized into his death and raised to walk in a newness of life as Jesus was raised from the dead. We need to believe those things. We need to practice this thing in order that we might become the children of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise." If we are children of God, perhaps we have done as these Pharisees did who had believed. And they believed a false teaching, fell into some kind of error. This has happened in the past and happened under the Old Testament. Proverbs 24:16 talks about the just falling seven times and rising up again. God is gracious, merciful, kind, patient toward us, and wants us to be saved. He wants us to repent and pray, confess our sins and pray to God that we might be forgiven. He wants us to repent and do the first works, as it's pointed out in Revelation 2, verse 5. Acts chapter 8, there verse 22. Of course, we need to hear the gospel and believe Jesus, believe his words, and repent of our sins and confess our sins and pray to God that we might be forgiven as erring children of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Acts chapter 8. There, verse 22. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. This was Simon the sorcerer who had attempted to buy the gift of God with money. And Peter pointed out that his heart wasn't right, that he needed to repent of this wickedness. And if he would repent, he asked Peter to pray for him that he might be forgiven. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, there verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, there beginning verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So we need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to pray. Have others pray for us. Repent and do the first works. Do what we did that was right before. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Even though we have fallen seven times, we can rise again. Won't you obey the gospel of Christ? As we stand and sing the song for your encouragement.